is a man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him. Verse 5. And then he goes on to say, you have made him, talking about man, a little lower than angels. Now, get the CD, play it back, listen to it in detail. But what we begin to discover is that word angels, it was a translation error. And the correct word in the Hebrew is actually Elohim. And what that simply means is that you were not little lower than angels. You are a little lower than Elohim. Elohim simply means God. Everybody say God. That we must understand that you are not made a little lower than angels. We are made higher than angels. We began to study last week that angels are here to serve us. And so for us to understand that when I look at Scripture, we begin, and that's why I said that's why God gave you a preacher. That's what the Bible says. How can they hear? Come on, somebody. And so we begin to go behind the veil and understand that, listen, I'm not made a little lower than angels. Hang on. I'm made just a little bit lower than Elohim. I'm made a little bit lower than God himself. And see, that's a struggle for many of us because in the hierarchy of life, Scripture puts us on the right under where God is at. Now, it doesn't put us on the level of God. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, don't trip. We're not on the level of God. But why is this important? Because when you know out of all the creation of all creation that where I stand in the hierarchy is I stand right underneath God in everything in the universe. Watch this, go over to Genesis 1 and 25 and 26. We looked at this as well. We begin to tie the two together. Because when you know that, listen, angels, listen, and it's amazing because we said this last week, I'm going to reiterate it. Many times when people have an encounter with an angelic being, they get so excited about an encounter with angelic beings. Nothing wrong with it. The Bible says, be careful that you entertain angels unaware. But at the same time, why are we so excited about an encounter with an angelic being when we're actually made actually above an angelic being? So when we have an encounter with each other, I should be just as excited that I see you than anything else. If I really know who I am and really know who you are, I'm excited to see you. Okay. And we begin to put this thing together. Genesis 1 and 25, it says this, we know this. It says, God made the beast of the earth according to his kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. So God created all the cattle, the goats, he looked over, saw the lions, the bears, the tigers. He began to look at everything and said, man, it's all good. But then in verse 26, he goes on and says, hold on. He said, that's good that we made all this stuff, but then God called a meeting in heaven. He said, hey, Holy Spirit, Jesus, I need to talk with you. He said, let us make man in our image. He says, let us make man in our image, watch this, according to our likeness. Somebody say, that's me. God said, pause, I see everything in the universe. I see angels. I see everything that's going on. He says, but when I look out there, I don't see anything that's like us. I don't see anything that has my essence. I don't see anything that moves like me, demands things, and have dominion and power like me. And he says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to create man. I'm going to create human. And what they're going to be is they're going to be made just like me. They're going to walk like me. They're going to have authority like me. That's why it says, and they shall have dominion because God has dominion. And they begin to say they will be able to be just like me. Now, we know we're not him, but it said in his likeness. So where are you going, Pastor? I need you to understand, as we were preaching last week, that God has made us. Matter of fact, here's the other part I need you to catch. I'm not sure if I put this in there last week because so many times we have put ourselves below angels. Let me backtrack for a minute. And I want you to catch something here. That is so, that scripture, and that's why it's so important that we rightly divide the word of God. Because if we stand on that scripture that says that we are little lower than angels, stay with me, that means that Lucifer himself is higher than you because he's nothing but a fallen angel. God help me. And so what that has to tell you, and this is why it's important that we understand the original writing, that when God looked around, he looked at angels, he looked at animals, and he said, listen, we're going to make man in our image, and you're going to be higher than anything else. And when you realize you're higher than any angelic being, you're higher than anything on this earth, you look the devil square in the face like God and says, I know who I am, and I can put you in your place because I'm higher than any devil, any demon, because I'm made in the image of God. Matter of fact, that's how you break bondages in your house. Know who you are. Know that you're not made lower than any angel, especially a fallen angel. You are made little lower than Elohim. And if any devil, any fallen angel is walking around up in your house, then you begin to command that thing, get up out of here. You begin to command that thing to break off my family. I am made in the image of Elohim. The one who created you created me, but he created me a little higher than you. And I've got authority over your territory. And too many times we're wrestling with things that are not even on your level. Come on, somebody. We're wrestling with demons, and God wants you to know. He sent me to tell you, you are higher than any demonic generational curse. You are higher than any spirit of poverty. Stop wrestling with stuff that's not even on your level. Know your authority. Stand up and speak to the devil. Tell him to get the hell out of my mind and back to the pit of hell where I, God, help me right now. Touch your neighbor and say, why are you wrestling with people not on your level? Why are you wrestling with angels, fallen angels? God created you a little bit lower than him. You're above the demonic Lucifer. You're above every fallen angel. You're above everything except God himself. You a bad joker. Come on, somebody. And here's what I need you to understand. We begin to look at it. We preach this all week. That last Sunday is that you need to know who you are. You're not made a little lower than angels. You're above every angelic being. That's why they're called ministering angels. They're there to serve you. And we preached and gave understanding of ministering angels. That means to serve. They're not created higher than you. You are created higher than them. Now stay with me, because this is important. We begin to look at this, and I gave you a couple of things, the Moses effect. We went on to preach 3 points of Moses effect, meaning you have more in you than you can imagine. Because you're created in the image of God, we saw last week that God took his Moses' spirit off of him, put his spirit on 70 people. God didn't take his spirit. Moses was saying, God, I can't handle this. Send me 70 people to help me. God shows up at the meeting. He says, here's what I'm going to do. He put his hand on Moses, pulled what was on Moses, and put it on 70 people for them to go do what they needed to do. God didn't pull it out of him. He pulled it off Moses. And when you realize that you're made in the image of God, you got more in your life than you ever can imagine. That's why the Bible says, listen, God had never put more on you than you can handle. But let me tell you something, you got more on you than you think you can handle. You got more on your life. Why do you think you're a single mama and you made it all this time? Why do you think you ran out of food for your family, but somehow, some way, you kept waking up and God just kept showing up? You've been through mental stuff. You've been through health stuff. And every day you just keep getting up when the average person should have died. But there's more in your life than you ever can imagine that you can do in your life. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm a bad joker. I'm a bad joker. Go ahead, tell them. We looked at the Moses effect. Then we looked at the David effect, understanding that you're a problem solver. Because you're made in the image of God, the Holy Spirit is a helper. Jesus came, said, I came to serve God. God said, and we'll look at this today, God said, I so love the world, he gave his only begotten son, meaning he came to help. That means you're a helper wherever you go. Because you're made in the image of God, when you show up at a place, you should leave it better. It should be better when you leave than you got there. Because you're in the image of God, and whenever God shows up, he changes things. Whenever God shows up, everything is better than it was once God is there. Somebody say, I'm a problem solver. And the last thing we looked at last week was the Nazareth effect, where the question was asked, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And we begin to discover it doesn't matter where you're from, long as God is with you and God is in you, I don't care what side of the track you're on, it doesn't matter. When you are made in the image of God, come on, somebody. I don't care if you came from the south side. I don't care if you came with no education. I don't care if you did 3 years, 20 years, 50 years in prison. When God's on your life, he can bring listen, I don't care if you're from the ghetto or the trailer trash. Come on, somebody. When God's hand is on you, you can walk in a CEO's office and you can turn the world around. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Say absolutely. Come on. There are some Nazareth people up in here. And we preached that last week. But here's why I went this way this morning. Because I want you to catch something. Because I want you to understand, and get the whole sermon. I wasn't preaching, I was just highlighting this, but I need you to catch this. Because here's why this is different this morning, is because I need you to understand who you are, and you're made in the image of God. Stay with me, I'm going to tie it together. You're made in the image of God. You're made just a little lower than God. And this began to help me understand something. Now I know why God is crazy about me. Now I understand why God is obsessed with my life. Now I understand, because when I'm created in his image, I'm like him. He made me. It's something about me. God help me. And when I look at it, now I begin to understand, why does God give me so much grace and mercy? Why does God chase after me the way he chases after me? And when I begin to look at it, this explains to me the text of John 3:16. This is our foundational text. Put it up there for us if we can. This is where we're going this morning. I want to tie this together. It's going to be this is a little different than normal, but I want to tie this together. Because when I noticed last week that God has literally chosen us, we made the cut. We made the cut to be made in the image of God. I mean, you could have been anything. Come on, some of you could have been a bamboo somewhere. You understand? You could have been not only a bamboo, but a baboon. You could have been a chimpanzee. You could have been an alligator. But God said, listen, you made the cut of life. I made you in my image. And when I think about it, now I begin to look at my life, and God has never let me go in my life. And I begin to wonder, God, why is it that you've never let me go? Why is it that you love me so much? And he says, it's because of who you are. You're made in my image. You have something special in you. See, it's not always about, see, it's amazing that we always talk about what's in us, but we never focus on the carrier of the gift. Whenever you have something delivered that's of value, you choose very carefully who's going to deliver the package. UPS, FedEx, because you don't want somebody, just anybody, to carry your package, and that's what God said. He says, I chose you to be you. I chose you to carry what I put inside of you. I chose you of all people. I knew that you would be the right one for what I have in your life. And when we see this in John 3:16, let's tie it together. John 3:16, we all know this. We can quote it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, bless the message of this word this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Here it is right here. Here it is. Here's our foundational text this morning. I need to tie these two together. Is when I begin to understand who I am and the value of who I am and the greatness of God in my life, it begins to show me why God loved me so much. Why is it that God loves us the way he loves us? And it's important that we understand a couple of things. It's important that we understand how God loves us, and it's important for you to understand why God loves you. One, why does he love you? A couple of reasons. One is that when you know how God loves you, when you understand how you're loved, it teaches you how to love. Stay with me. However you're loved is however you will begin to love. Oh, God. However someone's ever loved you is how, that's the only way you know how to love somebody else. That's why you got people who've gone through relationships and struggles in their relationship, because the person you tied your life with didn't have great love at home, so they don't know how to love you because of the way they were loved. But when you begin to know, when you see how somebody loves you, then you begin to love the way that you have always been taught to love. God help me. And what God wants you to understand is that since we are made in his image and we are made a little lower than him, that we are the ones that must understand his love. Watch this. And not just for us, but we need to also begin to understand his love, because we are to love like he loves people. And so if we don't understand God's love, somebody say God's love. If we don't understand God's love, then how can we fulfill one of the purposes on our life is to be God in earth, and meaning to carry his essence and his nature on this earth, to begin to show people how God loves them, if I don't understand how God loves me? And I believe that's the struggle with all of us, is we really don't know how God loves your life. Because here's how I know this, because the way we love each other, come on somebody, the way we treat each other tells me we really don't know how God loves us. Because if I realize how good God's been to me, all the foolishness in the body of Christ really wouldn't be in the body of Christ. Here it is right here. It says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. God help me right there. That whosoever, somebody say whosoever, believes in him shall not perish, watch this, but have everlasting life. Why is this important? Watch this, John 13:34. Watch this here. Check this text here. It says, John 13:34, if you can look at it for us, please. Because it begins to share with us because how we're supposed to love. When we look at it, put up 13:34 if you can for him. And because when we're looking at the text, it shares with us, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Watch what he says, as I loved you. Stay with me. He says, I need you to love the same way you feel me love you. He says, the way you're supposed to love and reciprocate it is the understanding of how I love you. You're made in my image. You're made a little lower than me. Now I need you to begin to love me. See, it comes with a lot of responsibility walking in the image of God. That means we have got to be like God for the world to experience God. How many of you know that the way that people experience God is not necessarily coming to church, is when they encounter you every day? The greatest encounter people have with God and who he is, and we're always talking about the world needs God, the world needs God. Here it is. The world's got those that are walking in the image of God, and we need to be the expression, because they're never just going to stroll up in here, just to stroll up in here. They meet God's carriers every day of the week, Monday through Sunday. They are seeing you in the job. They're seeing you there, and if you're not carrying God's love, maybe this is the reason why it seems like the world is going to hell in a handbasket, because people are not showing the love that God is shown us. It's going to get there. It's going to be tight for a minute. And here it is. Because he, watch what he says. He says, I give to you that you love one another as I loved you. Okay, well, God, how have you loved us? He says that you also love one another. And here it is. And when you understand that, ask that question, well, God, how is it? He says, go to John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And I want to bring 3 points out of that one verse right there on how to love about God. Because when you go to John 3:16, we sometimes don't understand the context of the scripture. That literally Jesus is having a conversation with a man by the name of Nicodemus. And that conversation of John 3:16, the Bible says he comes to him, and Nicodemus is asking him questions under the cloak of nighttime. The Bible says that nighttime he comes to Jesus, he begins to say stuff to him, and they get down to it, and Jesus says to him, he says, listen, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And what our revelation is to understand, listen to me, that conversation with Nicodemus is probably the most important conversation in your entire Bible. That conversation about God, that statement where he says, for God so loved the world, that's probably more important than any conversation in the world. Because if that's not, listen, you could take every page out of my Bible, but leave me John 3:16. And that's all I need to know about God and salvation. That's all I need to know to help and strengthen me in my walk. And this conversation right here is more important than the conversation that he had with the woman at the well. This conversation right here is more important than the conversation he had with the disciples afterwards, where he says, listen, you're going to be my disciples, go into the world, do all that. This conversation right here gives us a clear understanding of the God that you serve. You could take anything away, but just don't take my John 3:16 away. Come on, somebody. Because when I have John 3:16, I understand the dynamic of God and his grace and his love towards my life. And there's 3 things I want to pull out of here this morning. 3 things I want to pull out. The first thing we understand about God's love towards us and why he's crazy about us is because we're made in his image. But here it is. Here are 3 things we understand about God's love. It's very impressive. Look at your neighbor and say, God's love is impressive. Stay with me. God's love, look at your other neighbor, say, God's love is impressive. When it says, for God so loved the world, that word love, we understand it, it's agape. That word agape means unconditional, no boundaries, no limits, totally, no condition put on it whatsoever. God literally said, for God so loved the world, he says, there's no condition, agape, no boundaries. No limit to this right here. You don't have to do this for me to love you. Come on, somebody. You don't have to show up here for me to love you like this. This is not some type of affection love. This is a love where he made a decision. He chose to look at you and say, listen, there is no condition to how I, there's no condition that's going to make me change my love towards your life. He literally says right here, here it is right here. Now we got to understand, this is what makes us rich. That word right there where it says, for God so loved the world. Everybody say the world. Oh, that's good stuff right there. He says, for God so loved the world. And that world means simply this. It means somebody who's antagonistic towards God. Stay with me. See, we got to understand this text. For God so loved the world, someone who's antagonistic, somebody who's opposite of God. And God is saying, listen, someone who is denying me and who I am, watch what he says. He says, I love you no matter what, unconditionally. And watch what he's saying here. He's saying, if I love this way, you got to love this way. Because here's one of the things I begin to see is that this tells me that God made up his mind that, listen, I don't have to love him for him to love me. I don't have to express love to God for God to express love to me. Now, why is this important, church? Because when you see people, I just saw something just this morning. Somebody sent me a text. They said, hey, I need you to jump. I need you to see this online. And we begin to see people like Kanye West. And they told me, and I turned in, and I went to where they told me, and I began to see him in this church this morning. And he's leading worship, or a form of worship. And what I began to stir in my spirit is that this man is really, in many ways, somebody who I would have put in the category who's anti-God. Someone who was using the name Yeezy or somebody. Y'all know, don't act like y'all ain't got the CD. Come on, somebody. And he would be somebody who seemed demonic, but watch this right here. But because God began to express his love to him, when the church would turn their back on him, and somehow God would draw him and still say, I put no conditions on your life, but I still love you like I love somebody who's up in church every single Sunday, who raises and lifts their hands. But God is saying, no matter if you turn your back on me, no matter if you have a demonic season, stay with me, I still have agape love towards you. Now, why is this mess with us? It's because we have always thought that meant that God loves people who are in the church. God does love people in the church, but baby, God don't love. Listen, before you were in the church, God loved you. You were antagonistic towards God. You were somebody who turned your back on God, who even questioned, are you real? Some of you were atheists before you ever came to Jesus, and God says, I still put no boundaries on how I see you, how I love you. There is nothing we can do as humanity to get away from who God's love is. See, because when that word antagonistic, everybody say antagonistic, that literally means, watch this right here, that you literally are opposite God. And we have been in church so long, it seems like we think we always been with God. And many of us have been so opposite of God, polar opposite of God, before we came to him. But what God says is, because I created you in my image before you got here, I put no boundaries on our love. I've given you agape love. And church, what am I telling you? You need to understand his love. Watch this. So you can go out and love people the same way that God loves people. What does that mean to you? You've got to be able to have agape love towards people who are hating on your God every day, who are talking about your cross every day, talking about Christ ain't real every day. But as a believer, you have a mandate on your life, if you're created in the image of God, is to be able to love those who don't even love your God. See, the thing is, we have this church mentality. And this is why this message is different this morning, because so many of us have become us against the world type of mentality. If you're not with Jesus, then I can't deal with you. I didn't say hang with them. What I simply said was you got to have a love for them. You have to have something inside that draws you to them that says, I will express an agape love to their life. What does that mean? Leave the door open for them to come back in. Leave the door open for God to do a 180 in their life. Leave the door open for a Kanye West or somebody else who is a strong, demonic-looking individual to turn their life around and then on a Sunday morning lift up their hands years later, begin to talk about how he's humbling God. But church folk have only begun to love those that show them love. Come on, somebody. That's not even Christianity. That's not even Christianity. And what I'm trying to tell you is, listen, I'm trying to tie the two together to get you to get this. Even if you don't shout, I don't care, but I need you to understand the mandate on your life is that when you have that responsibility, if we tore this place up last Sunday shouting about that sermon, we tore it up about the value of who you are, but that value comes with responsibility. That comes with responsibility. That means when you see a somebody who's literally against your God, you don't turn against them, but you leave the door open for God to be able to work up in their life. God, help me. Because I told this before that I worked literally with a witch doctor. I've told this before. And when I was in corporate America, some of you know the story, God made us roommates in a cubicle. I've told this before. God literally, I mean, she put stones around the thing, and she was doing reading hands or whatever you call that stuff. And there was this vibe in the office. Come on. And I told you how I used to just, man, I didn't even want to go into work. I would feel stuff and all this stuff. And then God gave me the revelation. The reason why you're here is to change the atmosphere, because greater is you that's in the world. And one day I walked up in that joker before everybody got there. I began to plead the blood of Jesus, lay hands on her seat. I anointed the walls. I anointed her seat. And don't you know, the morning she walked in, she was ill. She didn't feel good. And let me tell you about the power of God that dwells in us, lives on us. And that's why we got to know who we are. We are better than any devil, any witch doctor. Touch your neighbor, say, I know who I am. But here's the story I was sharing with you. Because if anybody would have looked at her life, because we used to talk all the time about, is God real, and this and that and that and this, and she had no belief for it until September 11th happened. And we're sitting on a 14th floor in a building, and anybody that was on any building higher than one story, come on, was tripping on that day. We looking out windows like, come on, somebody, can we leave this joker? You know what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, people were freaking out. And she was the first person that, because, you know, when people serve the devil, they walk in fear. God help me. She was so panicked. She was so, she was hyperventilating. See, this should be the difference between God and his people. Come on. Those that serve the devil should walk in fear. But those that serve God should walk in faith. Even if the building is coming down, I'm going to survive. I'm going to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I may be in the fire, but God's going to bring me through. I may be going through what I'm going through, but I got faith. I'm going to survive it. The doctor may have given you sickness, but baby, don't walk in fear. Walk in faith, knowing everything's going to work out. Here it is. So she says, watch what she says. She says, hey, she called a lot of people over. And in my head, you know, there was a little bit of, you know, in me like, man, I may need to get up out of here. I ain't lying. I was wrestling with it. But I was standing strong, though. And then she said, hey, kid, come on, I got everybody. She brought, because God had put us, we were running the office, and we had this cubicle we shared. And we ran the whole office. And next thing I know, we had 30 people outside our cubicle. She said, can you pray for us? This is a true story. This is an absolute true story. An absolute true story. Because what begins to happen is that who would have ever thought this person who believed in powers of rocks and all this stuff and reading cards and all this stuff and thought she used to line them ladies up, telling them about, they sit down in a chair and she would tell them all this stuff. But baby, when push comes to shove, let me tell you something. She was the first one that began to call and say, can you call on your God? And what I'm trying to tell you is, somebody who's opposite of God, you got to leave the door open for God to begin to turn it around. And for, because I would have never thought that she, because truth be told, if I was God, come on, somebody. See, and this is why we got to understand, we are made a little lower than God. Because if we were God, come on, somebody, I would have been like, nope, I'm not, I can't hear you. I'm going to play with you. I'm going to make stuff fall. I would have been jacking her up. Come on, somebody. I would have been like playing with her hands and tarot cards flying around. That's why you got to know, that's why we're not God. Come on, somebody. But we're in a progress trying to learn to love like God. This ain't an overnight success, because truth be told, I didn't want to pray for her. But the God in me says, you got to be like me and begin to show this. I am who I am. Why am I telling us this in 2019? Because you've got to leave the door open for people who seem opposite of God, for God to turn around and now they can be used by God. For God said, for God so loved the world. That word world simply means antagonistic, means those that oppose God. And lately, it's usually the church against the world. But those people who are against the world now, God still has an agape love for them. And if God has agape love for them, we have to have agape love. What does that mean? That means leave the door open for turnaround. Because how many people, a pastor friend of mine, the two of them that sent me this and said, go look at this. they said, it was New Birth Church, they said New Birth's going to be on the news this week. Because you have this man who looked polar opposite of God now standing in your church. Y'all ain't hear me. And so what that, now many can argue, should he use him? But here's what I'm saying. All I know is that there are many people who are going to start looking for God. And if you don't have the love that we are created to carry and to express for God, then we're going to begin to cause people to fall that who shouldn't fall. And so what I'm saying to you is God's love is so impressive. Because those, see, we've been taught to love people who love you in church. Listen, I know we say love those that hate us, all that. But truth to be told, church folk don't walk like that. That's why y'all laughing, because y'all know it's the truth. And we've got to understand how impressive, everybody say impressive. God's love is impressive. He is a God that says, I will love those who are antagonistic towards me. Let me give you the other thing. Here's the other thing about God's love. God's love is expressive. Everybody say expressive. That's what it says. He says, for God so loved the world. That means the world, those that are antagonistic. That's impressive to me. God so loved the world. That's an impressive love. Then he goes on to say that he gave his only begotten son. Ah, that means that when you see that, God's love is expressive. See, somebody said, you can give but not love. You can give but not love, but it's almost impossible to love without giving. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Let me let that sink in. And he said that God so loved the world, antagonistic folk. Watch this. Now he begins to be expressive that he gave his only begotten son. Because here's what you got to understand. God began to express his love in such a way. Because here's the thing is that whenever there is an expression of love, the one thing that makes us powerful is that his son is who he gave. And watch what it says. His only begotten son. That makes what he gave rare. Meaning he began to express his love. He began to express his love because whenever you love, there's going to be an expression of it. And what God said is, I'm not just giving you anybody, I'm giving you a rarity. For God so loved not just any many sons, his only begotten son. So what God gave was something that was rare. Let me get it where you can get the understanding. Kobe Bryant, a few years ago, he got caught up. Love me some Kobe. But he got caught up. And we know the story. Went viral. Bought his wife a $4 million ring. Because he was trying to, watch this, express his love. And watch this, and some say that's not even the point of it. $4 million to Kobe ain't nothing. But what made it different was it was a rare 8-carat purple diamond. It wasn't the amount, it was the rarity of what he gave. See, because she know Kobe got $4 million. $4 million, us is like, what? But he gave her something that was rare, something that really everybody doesn't have. But so what he was doing was he was trying to express to her that I still love you by giving her something that was rare. And what God says is that my expression of my love, watch this right here, is that I'm giving you my only, everybody say only. I'm giving you something that is rare. I'm giving you something you can't find anywhere else. I'm expressing my love to you through something that is very rare. And this is what I love, because what God didn't do was God didn't go get an angel in heaven singing holy, holy, holy. God didn't go find somebody who just somebody and says, I need you to go do this. That's not what God did. God looked and said, here's what I want to do. I need something that is rare. I want to express to them how much I love them. I'm not going to give them just anybody. I'm going to give them my only begotten son. And I don't want them to catch he's my son. I want them to catch he's my only begotten son. I'm giving you something to express my love to you that you can't find somebody is somewhere else. You can't go to Home Depot and find this. You can't go to Lowe's and find this. I am giving you my only begotten. I'm giving you a rarity to express your value to me. And here it is right here. It's because what we've got to understand is that God could, you know what? That's why I'm glad God didn't go get some backup. He didn't go get a bench warmer. He didn't go get somebody that's just somebody. He looked around heaven and said, listen, son, I need you to go down and I need you to be amongst the people. I need to express to them how much I care about them. I need there to be an expression for their understanding that I'm not just fooling around with this agape love stuff. I'm not just going to give them something they can get at Walmart. I am giving them my only begotten son to express the value of my love to them. Because watch this right here. Is when you look at what he was doing, is that there's this word monogenesis. Everybody say monogenesis. This word monogenesis just simply means same substance, same DNA. It simply means to have the same essence. And what God says is, listen, I don't just want anything. I need somebody to go down there with my essence, with my DNA, and go amongst them. I need somebody who's around them. When they hear you speak, they hear heaven speak. When they see you, they see heaven. He said, I need to send someone with my DNA. I need them to understand the value of what I'm giving up for them. And what he began to do is he sent Jesus down. God, help me right here. And what he began to do, he says, you can't find somebody that has the essence of God. You can't find, your mama can't love you like God loves you. Your daddy can't love you like God loves you. God literally said, I need to, how many of you know God could have looked around the entire universe and sent anything down here? But he says, here's what I want to do. I need them to understand I want somebody with my essence on them. Because here's the thing you got to understand. God doesn't just possess love. God expresses love. God needs somebody who goes down there. And the reason he's going down there is he needed somebody who can bridge the gap. He needs somebody who can bridge. He wanted us to know, listen, I'm sending you not some rookie. I'm not sending you some backup quarterback off the bench. I'm not sending you just anybody. I'm sending you somebody that has my essence, has my DNA, that has my breath on them, that has me on them. And the reason I'm sending them is because there is a gap between me and you. And I need somebody who can bridge the gap. I need somebody because your sin has caused you to fall away from my holiness. And without the holiness, I can't connect with you because of your sinfulness. But I need to send somebody that has my essence, that can bridge the gap, that can reconnect us again. And he couldn't find anybody unless he found somebody that had the same DNA as he had. So he says, son, I need you to go down there and bridge the gap. I need you to bridge the gap between their sin and my holiness. And this is why in my head I can see the saints of old used to say that he's a bridge over troubled water. That means that he can help me get over something that will keep me from going to the other side. And Jesus is a bridge over sin. Come on, somebody. That he's able to bridge the gap between God and us. And God says, I need to pause for a moment. He's not just a bridge over sin. He's a bridge over anything in your life. He's a bridge. If you got sickness, he's a bridge over sickness to healing. You ain't saying nothing. He's a bridge over trouble to having peace in your life. He's a bridge over being in debt to having prosperity. He is a bridge over anything in your life. If you got a wrecked marriage, God sent Jesus to be a bridge over that situation to get you to where you should be. If you got cancer in your body, you got a bridge to healing. If you got something going on up in your life, he sent Jesus to be a bridge over that situation. Touch your neighbor, say, I got a way back to it. I got a good way back to it. He says, listen, I need to express this to them because I need them to understand the value that I didn't send some joker from anywhere. I sent my essence into the earth. I sent my DNA into the earth. Because what he needs us to understand is that Christ was he's the only one who could be the sacrifice. Because it needed God's essence to bridge the gap. And God says, I need you to understand. I need you to go down there, and I need you to take one for the team. He said, listen, they had a meeting in heaven and said, I need somebody. I need to express my love to these people who are made in our image. Now that gap is between us, how can I show them that I really love them? Because talk is cheap if you ain't expressing it. He says, I'm sending my rarity, I'm sending my son, and you are the only one who can bridge that gap, that can help them get back in connection with me. Because I love them so much, they need to have that connection back. And the thing about Jesus is he was and is the sacrificial lamb, meaning that the reason why I call him sacrificial means he's the only one that can do it. He's the only one who was able to fulfill what was needed to make that thing happen. And what we got to understand is God looked through. Abraham couldn't do this. Obadiah couldn't do this. Isaiah couldn't do this. Your mama couldn't do it. Your daddy couldn't do it. The only person that could bridge the gap was that rarity, the only begotten son. God says, I need them to know there is nobody else that can do this. And I'm willing to give up my most valuable possession called the only begotten son so he can express his love to us. And church, when you understand this right here, this makes me want to like I never shouted before when I began to understand that when God looked down, he wanted to connect with me so much. He said, I'm giving you a rarity. This is how I know that God loves me. When God says, I'm willing to give you something that will not leave you out there. This is why it messes me up on Sundays when I see people who half worship God and who half when it takes this to get up. If you don't understand what God did, if he didn't bridge that gap, you wouldn't be able to be up in here. If he didn't bridge that gap, you couldn't look yourself in the mirror. If he didn't break, God help me. And some of us worship like we don't understand scripture. And that's why I'm trying to get you to understand how much God loves you. He didn't leave you on the bridge of sickness. He didn't leave you on the bridge of mental illness. He didn't leave you over there without being able to get back to your right mind, to get back to healing, to get back to the side of prosperity. God so loved the world, he bridged the gap that you can have your mind back, have your joy back, have your peace back. So I wonder sometimes, why do we sit up in church and we just go through the motion when God said, I gave him, I sacrificed him, not just for anybody, but I did it so you can get up, clap your hands, and worship a true and holy God. Slap three people and just tell them, I know my God loves me. I know my God loves me. And we got folk that sit up in church. When praises go up, their butts go down. When praises go up, their hands go in their pocket. But baby, if I realize that he gave his only begotten son so he can bridge the gap and cause me to have whatever I need to have, it caused me to love my God. See, I think we take this Christian thing for granted. We take this Christian walk for granted. Because if you ever realize that God gave you a rarity, there is nothing else that could have bridged that gap. Except Emmanuel, God with us. It couldn't have been anybody else. Abraham couldn't do it. The prophets of old couldn't come back. You want to know why you can be healed today? Because Jesus bridged that gap. Oh, cancer was invited in with sickness and disease at the fall of man. But God said, I need to bridge the gap back. So by my stripes, they are healed. I need to bridge the gap back. So when you're about to lose your mind, he'll give you a peace that'll keep you. He bridged the gap. Somebody say, he bridged the gap. I love it when the saints, I was sitting in church, I didn't know what they were talking about. He's a bridge over troubled water. I didn't know. See, you don't, until you get in trouble, you don't understand it. But baby, I've been in so much trouble, he done helped me get over my trouble, out my trouble, under my trouble. Maybe some of y'all need to sit on that side or that side, but all the trouble folk know, he's been a bridge over troubled water. He done helped you when you shouldn't have made it. He done brought you around when you shouldn't come through. And you want to sit up in here and in his house and not give him glory when it's time to give him glory. Somebody shout hallelujah. He gave his monogenistic son. He gave the only one who can bridge that gap because he wants you to know the value of who you are. Pastor, what are you saying? That means we need to understand the value of people the same way God sees the value of people. Because when we see them, not only where we see or leave the door open for them, but we need to see there's value in people where it doesn't seem like there's value in people. He said, my only begotten. We only sometimes look at the word son, but we need to catch that's his only. If he had 10, okay. But you're giving us your only one. See, this is what Kobe was trying to do with Vanessa. He wanted her to know, you're my only one. I'm trying to give you a rarity. Come on, somebody. Because he's trying to express something. And I believe that we need to understand that's what God's trying to do. God says, Jesus, I need you to go down there. He said, AJ, come here. I need you to hook them people up. I need you to put on, God help me. I tried to move to my third point because it's time to go. Watch this. This is what he says to him. He said, here's what I need you to do. See, I think sometimes when we think about Emmanuel, God with us, we don't understand how hard it is for God to be in flesh. We forget how hard it was for Jesus to put on flesh. You take a God who can be anywhere, anytime he want to be. God says, this is how much I love you. Jesus says, I'm in the game plan. He said, I need you to step in humanity, put on flesh, and dwell among them. When Jesus put on flesh, he said, hold on. He said, hold on, Father. Hang on, Daddy. Hang on. He says, my hand can only go this far. He said, I used to stretch my hand and it would never end. God help me. He says, I used to be able to just step my foot over here and go anywhere. But I put on humanity for these folk. God help me. Now I'm limited in where I can be and how I can get there. Because when he put on humanity, God was expressing to us. Jesus was expressing to the world, do you know how much I love you that I put on humanity when I never wore humanity before? I'm expressing my value of what you mean to me. He had a God mind with a human body. He had a God thought with a human body. And that had to be problematic for him. If you can't imagine how much he loves you, take that thought for a minute and realize God never had on humanity until he decided to be Emmanuel, till he decided to come down here and be a bridge for your issues. Touch your neighbor. Say, I know God loves me. I know God loves me. Here it is. Let me give you this last one. I got to go. I got to raise up. Here it is. Got to go. Got somewhere I got to be. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. I gotta go encourage some other people. I'm just being here. It is. The other thing about God's love is he does not discriminate. Catch this, here it is. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever. Okay. Everybody say whosoever. See, we gotta understand that when we say world is antagonistic, opposite of God. But then when he says whosoever, that does not necessarily mean opposite of God. Whosoever means, it literally means whoever is just away from God. Meaning, whosoever simply means, somebody say whosoever. See, you got to catch this. Whosoever means anybody who will turn their gaze towards God. Anybody who will say, I'm just, not somebody who we leave the door open because they're opposite God. They're atheists. They don't even believe that God's real. But now he's saying whosoever. Whosoever simply means that you don't have to have the right amount of money for me to love you. Whosoever means you don't have to be a male in order for me to love you. Whosoever means, watch this, you don't have to be a female for me to love you. Whosoever means you don't have to have your life perfect for me to love you. Whosoever means that you may have struggles with homosexual and lesbian issues and pornography and affairs, and God says, I still love you. Not just the person who is opposite of me, but whosoever means anybody, any place, any time, even when you got issues in your life, I still will love you. Oh, God. Because what we got to understand is that he said, everybody say whosoever. Oh, come on, one more time. Whosoever. Even if you got skeletons in your closet, he still says, I love you with agape love. Even if, I love this powerful right here, whosoever just rings in my spirit. Because when he says whosoever, God is literally saying, because if I say the world, I'm talking about people who are opposite of me. But what about people who love me, but they're living a life that's jacked up right now, that they're not being who they should be? They need to be reminded that even though they say they're with me, but they're not always with me, and they got skeletons in their body, in their closet, like dead bodies piling up somewhere, that they need to know I still love them. See, touch your neighbor, say whosoever. Here it is. Let me get it where we got to be. Because the reason why whosoever is important is because of the church. The church likes to put qualifiers on whosoever. We try to qualify people with whosoever. We try to make God so love the world. You know, he only gave his only son that whosoever got it together. Whosoever is not struggling with same-sex issues. Whosoever is able to talk right. Whosoever is able to look right and walk right and carry their Bible right. Whosoever, we try to put qualifiers on it. But when God said whosoever, God never put a qualification. Who are we to put a qualification on the whosoever in the Bible? Because here's the thing you got to understand, because all of us were in that whosoever. Once we even turned from our back from God, turned to God, we still have been jacked up since we've been with God. And the reality is there are some jacked up folk up in here right now, and you're just under the cover of God's grace and can't nobody tell. But you need to know that you're in that whosoever. Matter of fact, do me a favor, slap the person on your chair on the lap and tell them you're the whosoever. Okay, y'all slap your neighbor. I said slap you, because you're the jacked up one I'm talking about. I didn't say slap your neighbor. I said slap the one in your chair on the lap and say you are the whosoever. We're so quick to touch somebody else for being jacked up. I'm talking about you right now. There's some jacked up folk up in here, up in here. Matter of fact, you are the whosoever. You got to understand, church, there is no qualifiers on the whosoever. Watch how God's love works, that you can go wherever you want to go. He says, I still got you. God, help me right here. He says, listen. God says, because here's my issue. And this began to really stir in my spirit. And I had to check my love level, because I had an encounter. I'm just going to tell y'all. I had this encounter with a man in heels. Yeah, that's problematic. Come on, somebody. No, I'm being real. I'm very transparent. I walked into a man's bathroom. And there was two men in the bathroom. And you know, your pastor don't play. And I walked in a bathroom, and the scene just didn't feel right. And I felt something inside that I said, this can't be right, God. And God began to stir, and I began to look. And God began to have to show me, how do you know that's not somebody's son who used to worship in church? How do you know that's not somebody's son who was beat by his daddy, but he went to church? Now his identity's lost. Because I left in this place Lady Brian and I were at, and I went and I sat down. She goes, what's wrong with you? She saw the expression on me, and I began to say, I am so irritated. God's going to have to do something. And later on, God began to deal with me. He said, I am doing something. I was trying to do it through you so you can express the love for me, that he's a whosoever. He may look jacked up. He may walk jacked up, but I need you to know he's a whosoever. And he began to remind me that I'm a whosoever. I'm jacked up. This worship leader's jacked up. Them drummers are jacked up. The man with the mic is jacked up. The person behind you is jacked up. The person in your seat is jacked up. We look like we got it together, but we all are some whosoevers who've walked away from God, strayed away from God, done things we shouldn't have done. But God said, whosoever. Somebody shout, whosoever. Touch your neighbor this time and say, whosoever. Because here's what you got to understand. Watch what he says. I'm done. He says, not so whosoever. Watch what he says. It's right there. Not whosoever walks right. Not so whosoever sleeps with the right person right. Not the person who does not have an issue with anger. Not he didn't say whosoever has all the scriptures down. He said, whosoever believes. Watch what he does. He puts one qualification on it. He said, whosoever believes. And the problem is, we think people believe got it together. But people who believe got issues. And what I need to understand, and this is why God dealt with your pastor, and I wrestled, and I'm going to tell you, on the side of my bed when I got back to Phoenix, I had to lay down and say, God, I am so sorry that I was like that. And I said, God, I got to be better. I said, but that right there, God, work on me right there. God says, you needed to be the one to walk in and not look at him crazy, and maybe even say, God bless you. How did you know I wasn't working on him? How did you know who that whosoever was? How did you begin to categorize? Who am I to tell God? See, Jesus, here's what he says. Watch what he says. Stay with me. He says, whoever believes, whoever. And here's what you got to understand. We're so focused on behavior. He never said anything about behavior. And this is where, in my mind, and I'm someone who preached grace, loved grace, but in that moment, that issue, it just bothered me. And I said, God, come on, for real. And God said, you're looking at his behavior. but you don't know what he believes. And this is what the church, God says, I'm not even dealing with behavior. He said that whosoever believes in him. The church says whosoever behaves right, whosoever looks like they got it right. He says, I never dealt with behavior, I dealt with belief. I feel like running right now. See, we've got to understand, church, because all of us know that we believe. And if we were to take one of those lion tests, the polygraph tests, we all know, even though we believe, we still have jacked up moments. And this is why God says, I didn't deal with behavior. I dealt with belief, because people with belief can have jacked up seasons in their life. And I need you to understand that my agape love, it covers in that season of your life. And I said, God, but why are we leaving out behavior? That's got to be a part of this Christian walk. He says, no, I didn't leave out behavior. He says, I just dealt with belief first. God. Watch this. Here's what he said. He says, before we modify behavior, we've got to first solidify belief. God, help me. Because your behavior can't be modified until I have to solidify your belief in me. God, help me right here. And what we've got to understand, that's why many of us understand, we are trying to deal and look at people's behavior. But God says, I just need you to believe. And once you believe, then I can modify your behavior. Because, stay with me, that's why we say what we always say right now. I'm not what I used to be. I'm better than where I was. I no longer go where I go. I no longer hang with the people I hang with. I no longer do that. Why? Because once you start believing in God, he started modifying your behavior. That's why you don't hang with the people you used to hang with. That's why you don't listen to what you used to listen to. Okay, pause. I know that hit somebody right there. Here it is. Let me come get you. This is real life. I know exactly what we're dealing with up in here. This is why we preach that at least I'm not what I used to be. God, help me. I am a work in progress. Since I believe in God, I don't smoke it as much as I used to smoke it. I don't drink it as much as I used to drink it. I don't cuss you out the way I used to cuss you out. I don't lust the way I used to lust. I am still God. Since I've been believing, he's been modifying my behavior. I am a work in progress since I started believing. See, God is working on your boy too. Come on, give me some grace. Because I can be a living GPS. I can give you directions on where to go real quick. Come on, somebody. And God has modified my life to where I'm no longer a GPS for people. Come on. Because when you got on my nerves, I can give you some good directions on how I want you to get where I want you to get. But since I got saved and since God's working on me, I haven't given that many directions in a long, long, long time. Every now and then, I might slip up and give you a recalibrating. But now I thank God I'm not who I used to be. I thank God he's still working on me. And there's progress up in my life since I started believing. He said, whosoever believes. The church is so focused on modifying behavior. But you cannot modify behavior until you solidify belief. Whosoever believes. Once I get you to believe, then I'll start modifying. And I know it's a lot of us in here that does stuff wrong, but we don't do it the way we used to do it. I got to be in the right church. Because I know he would never call me to preach to a perfect church. Come on. Because my life is a work in progress. I'm way better than I was. And it's not because I said, let me modify. I said, let me believe. God, help me. And the moment I started believing, he started modifying. Slowly but surely, he started modifying. And the more I walk after God, the better you're going to find my life. And when you look back over the years, you'll be like, who was that over there? As long as I stay with God, he's going to get me so far from who I used to be that it will blow people's minds. And that's why some people, that when they see you, they'll be like, who are you? What's going on in your life? You seem different. You look different. You just got to tell them, God has been working in me and working on my life. He said, whosoever believes. I got to go. I wasn't going to give you this, but I'm giving this. Verse 17, I'm done. I got to go. Verse 17, literally, when you go to verse 16, we preach. verse 16, and then we shut it down. It says, in verse 17, let me get this. I'm going right here. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. God help me. But that the world through him might be saved. I got to go. I got to raise up. Watch this. Is that he said, here's why verse 16 is important. Is because verse 17 follows it. He says, I did not send him into the world to condemn the world, but that through the world might be saved. Here's why his love is so important. He says it's so that the world might be saved. Not just salvation, but watch this, get back what they lost. God help me. Because what we understand is that we lost our salvation. And what love will do in understanding God's love, it'll get you back everything you lost. Everything you lost. When you begin, God said, tell them this. Here it is, right when I was preaching right here. He said, tell them this in the middle of me preaching. He said, tell them this right here. That when you begin to understand his love, you can get everything back you lost in life. Y'all not saying that to me. Because the whole purpose of God's love is to give you back what you don't have anymore. And if you lost anything, I'm telling you, once you understand God's love, then you prepare your vessel to get it all back. And this was right in the middle of preaching. God says, you got to tell them this. And I need to tell somebody, I don't know what you need back this morning, but when you begin to understand God's love, God's going to begin to give it back to you. He's going to restore your marriage. He's going to restore your money. He's going to restore your mind, restore your health. He's going to restore everything the devil has tried to steal from you. I need you to stand to your feet. We got to go. I got to go. Got to go. Got to go encourage another ministry. Listen to me. When you understand God's love, he says that they might be saved. And I was going to leave this off, and then halfway through God said, no, tell him. He says, once understanding my love is simply for you to get back what you lost. When you've lost something that you want back, it's through God's love and understanding of his love. God can give it back to you.